This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right, this is getting really fascinating here. It's almost like it's the polar opposite in Canada of getting copies of reports. Here you want to contact the authorities. You got to get the Freedom of Information requests. And unfortunately, it appears that the Obama administration is a little more stringent about that. Do you try to coordinate the big UFO cases you explored with possible repercussions in this country?
The problem is that, you know, ever since Blue Book finished, we really don't have access to official records in the United States of what people are seeing and reporting. So there is a bit of a gap there. But if we can, you know, look at the Canadian situation as a good example of what might be happening, we could probably assume, and you're not supposed to assume, but I think in this case you can, that in the United States, just as many cases are occurring and being reported, but we simply don't have access to all those reports. So I think there are a lot of reports that are floating around out there somewhere. I mean, no question that Peter Davenport and MUFON more recently and a number of other individuals are recording cases from the public, and we certainly use those in our data for Canada. So I think the United States is very well represented. I think the general rule of thumb that we have is that Canada is probably 10% less than the United States in terms of numbers of UFO cases, and that's proven true in a number of situations. So I'm guessing if we have 15,000 cases over the past 25 years, there's probably 150,000 cases in the United States, if not more. And that's simply going by population predictions and things like that. So there's a lot of cases out there. And it is very good that there are individuals like Peter Davenport and others who are compiling this data so that they can be used in scientific methodology approaches to studying the UFO phenomenon.
Are you in touch with NARCAP at all also?
We've got some cases from NARCAP. Transport Canada, the equivalent of FAA, as I mentioned, does provide us with information on pilot cases from time to time. It's not a smooth transition. It's not seamless, but we do get cases reported from airports in Canada, which automatically go into our annual Canadian UFO survey. So our annual studies, which we accumulated to produce the 25-year study, really do get a good cross-section of what people are reporting, not only from the lay public, but we get cases from pilots, from air traffic controllers, from armed forces personnel, in some cases from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police as well. So we're getting good reports from good observers. That allows us to say, you know, we really think there is a real phenomenon that's being observed by so many people in Canada. There have been polls that have been conducted. We were part of one poll back a number of years ago that affirmed 10% of the population in Canada believe they've seen UFOs. There have been similar polls in the United States through Gallup and a few other organizations that, you know, verify that it's 10%. So if you're looking at 10% of the population who've seen UFOs in Canada alone, that's 3 or 4 million. In the United States, you're looking at 30, 40, 50 million. There's a lot of people out there who are seeing UFOs, and we simply, you know, don't have records for a vast majority of them.
Before we get more into the nuts and bolts, obviously only a fraction of the people who see UFOs ever bother to report them. And I understand a reluctance, say, on the part of airline pilots, where they might not want their reputations tarnished by reporting these things. But how do we encourage regular people to report what they've seen?
That's a good question. I think it's a matter of public education. I know up in here in Canada, astronomy is almost vanished from the middle school and high school curriculum. There's so many other issues that are considered more important, so it's even tougher dedicated teachers to get astronomy, let alone UFOs, included into a curriculum. There are a few cases where that's an exception, but in the United States and around the world, ufology and the UFOs, the facts about UFOs, is something that's hard to get across. So I think certainly public education programs, certainly podcasts like yours, certainly getting some media attention through annual studies, will certainly contribute to this. And I guess we have to mention the TV shows at one point that raise people's awareness, not necessarily providing facts, but they certainly raise people's awareness. And I hope that people, you know, engage in some lively discussion after watching some of the shows that are being produced.
Unfortunately, some of those shows have less than stellar reputations for factual accuracy. Do you think that's a mixed bag, that people get a false impression of what the subject is all about because of what they see? Or is the fact that they're just aware that things are going on sufficient to have them report?
Well, there's no question that there's issues of accuracy. There's issues of the way in which the data is presented. I mean, Kurt Collins caught me on an interesting one where I was quoted for the Close Encounters TV show. I was asked to comment on the Cash Landrum case. And somewhere in my reading of so many cases over the years, I had thought I'd heard something about lightning bolts or energy bolts or something like that emanating from the craft in addition to the heat waves, which was apparently wrong. So there's little facts like that that creep in to cases and become part of the UFO milieu.
Yeah, I bet you the skeptics jumped all over that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't trust you can't trust us at all. To me, the issue in the Cash Landrum case, for example, is, well, did it happen at all? What about the medical effects? What about the site itself? Were there helicopters flying in the air? The lawsuit that was launched against the United States by the individuals involved.
Why did they replace that whole section of road where the event allegedly occurred?
Yeah, there's so many issues involved in there that again, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater by pointing at a few details that you can always look up. In fact, when I was questioned about this after the fact, I said, well, you know, if you look up the details of the case, and there's a number of very good accounts of the case, you can see that there's a lot more to the case than what we've simply covered in a 5-minute segment on television. So, yes, I think that there are some very important ways in which we can communicate to the public through television. Yes, a lot of the TV shows are wanting because they're really entertainment rather than anything else. I know that I'm part of the 701 movie that's in the works right now. Close Encounters second season has been filmed, and I'm part of that as well. There's a show that's being aired right now in the United States for the first time, a Canadian production called Indians and Aliens, specifically about Aboriginal sightings and experiences with UFOs. There's a lot of good stuff out there, but it's like that everywhere on TV. I mean, you can watch schlock on TV, or you can watch some good stuff, try and read up on it. I would hope that people aren't just ingesting all this stuff without thinking about what they're actually watching. Unfortunately, I'm sure that's the case in many situations.
Right. Well, you mentioned the Cash Landrum case. Of course, it's famous for the physical effects that the witnesses experienced, actually very detrimental physical effects. Now, one of the best cases, I think, that we have from anywhere is the famous Stefan Michalak case from 1967 at Falcon Lake, where he had a burn pattern on his clothing and on his, I think, chest, wasn't it?
Yep.
From what he claimed was the UFO's exhaust port. This question comes from Burnt State, one of our posters at forum.theparacast.com. And he asks, as someone who has investigated this story, just how important do you feel this case is in the annals of ufology and why?
Well, I think it's very, very important. And it's probably, even though it's been discussed and recreated a number of TV shows and it's in a couple of books, I think it hasn't been emphasized enough. When you look at what's involved, that we have a fellow who's a former military officer, has an experience encountering a apparently physical craft. There's physical effects in the environment. There were pine needles and other tree branches and whatever that were burned in the area. He's physiologically injured. He was taken to the Mayo Clinic for study. But there's a lot of other details. The area was actually considered being cordoned off by the Canadian government because of high radiation. In fact, there were some nuclear waste dumps that were actually investigated to see if anybody had broken in and taken any nuclear waste material out of there to seed the site. That was how serious it was taken. The case was investigated not only by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Canadian Air Force, but also the United States Air Force. It is included in the Condon Report. It is included in a number of other sites and sources. And what's most fascinating is that the witness, Stefan Michalak, never actually talked in terms of aliens. Until his death, he thought he had experienced or had some encounter with a secret American space vehicle. It was under some sort of test that went awry.
Chris Rutkowski joins Gene and Chris O'Brien, or KK. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris Rutkowski is with us, so when we broke, he was mentioning the fact that the witness thought of it as maybe a test aircraft, but it doesn't matter what they think. It's what happened that counts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have, you know, the witness was available for interviews over and over and over again. The site was accessible. As a matter of fact, it's not quite the end of the summer yet. If anybody in the United States want to come up to Canada, they actually have a horseback tour of the area where this occurred. Well, they'll take you on a pack horse tour up into the wilderness and guide you and tell you what happened to Mr. Mihalik back in 1967. There's T-shirts available. I suppose it's kind of Canada's Roswell in a certain way. And the other factor is that we have documents and from the United States Air Force, but from the Royal Canadian Air Force, Canadian Forces at the time. We have the reports from the RCMP. And I'm talking not just a few documents. We're looking at hundreds of pages of documents which are available about this instance. And there really aren't very many cases in UFO literature that are so well documented. I mean, an available witness, a site that's accessible, plus official documents. That's really quite remarkable, and I think it's something that really deserves a little more attention than it's getting.
What did the Condon Committee conclude about that case?
The Condon Committee actually listed the case as unexplained in its index. And I think this was the case that suggested along the lines of, I have to look up the quote, but I think it was the one where they said that if the case is proven correct, it would definitely prove the existence of unidentified flying objects in our environment, which would be an understatement, to say the least. On the other hand, I know that Roy Craig believed that it was a hoax based on the fact that the site was not found when the military and RCMP officers took Mr. Mihalik back out to the area. They tromped around in the wilderness for quite a while, apparently, but he was disoriented, couldn't find the site. And when the site was actually found sometime later, he didn't report to them. He reported actually to a local UFO group who went out there and looked at it with them. And that immediately lent some suspicion that perhaps, you know, he had made up the entire thing. In fact, when I was involved in a reinvestigation of the case back in the 1970s, I was speaking with a nuclear physicist who was of the opinion that Mr. Mihalik had actually fallen on a barbecue grill. That's how he burned himself. And the radiation was explained by the fact that for some reason he was trying to create his own nuclear bomb by banging rocks of pitch blender uranium together. It was such a preposterous idea that I found it hard to believe that
someone actually came up with that as an explanation.
It was a nuclear physicist. It was actually quite interesting. In fact, the barbecue explanation was the one that really threw me, because the marks on Mihalik's body, if you just imagine a barbecue grill, you know, there's the lines in one direction and the lines in the other direction. The marks on Mihalik's body were actually round dots. So in other words, the opposite of a barbecue grill.
Well, it may have been a test barbecue grill.
A test barbecue grill, right, yeah. So a lot of explanations have been postulated for this case. I mean, one of my reports on it, I say, okay, if it's a hoax, I mean, the fact that so many man-hours were spent looking for it, I would be surprised if the Canadian government, you know, wouldn't have, you know, just charged this guy, because, I mean, when you're talking radiation and the possibility of breaking into a nuclear waste site and going on from there, well, why wouldn't it be taken more seriously than it was? So I don't think it was a hoax. I had the opportunity, oddly enough, of knowing the Mihalik family as a child, because I used to play, you know, ride my bikes and stuff like that with one of his sons. And so I knew the family quite well. And, you know, they were very sincere. They had no reason whatsoever to make the story up. They did not seek publicity. In fact, they tried to avoid publicity because they were bombarded with so much back in the 1960s. I don't think it was a hoax. Now, is it a possible fabrication after the fact? That's one thing that's been proposed, because there was radioactive pieces of silver found in a crack in the rock over which this object was supposed to have been hovering. The radioactive silver was very unusual. I mean, one would not expect that. I mean, what's going to happen? A spaceship is going to leak radioactive silver or something? Very, very strange. It's possible that somebody tried to make the case look even better, or, you know, undermine it along the way. So I think there's a lot more questions that need answering with regard to this case. Dismissing it as a hoax doesn't really explain a lot of the effects and answer a lot of the questions that have arisen since the case became famous or infamous. So I think it remains one of the more interesting cases, not only in Canada, but anywhere in the world.
Me to a question from a fellow Canuck. Randall, who runs USI in Calgary, has a question that he posted at forum.theparacast.com where you can ask our guests any question you'd like, and if we think it's worthy, we'll read it. He's wondering if you have any other cases besides the McCullough case that involves human or animal injury, illness, or death.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think if there have been. I think there were a few cases. I seem to recall that there was a case in Charleswood, Manitoba, back in the 1960s as well, where there were some medical effects. People were getting headaches as a cause of some UFOs that were seen and a landing where the actual landing area gave people headaches. But in terms of injuries, I'm trying to remember of some that come to mind in Canada over the past number of years. Nothing's coming to mind. Certainly nothing that we would have medical records for. So I can't recall any.
Good. People at least staying away when they're on the ground.
I hope so.
Yeah. Run away. Well, we do have a bunch of questions here. I'm going to fire a couple of these at you. And one of the ones that people are asking about, of course, is the and one that's been, you know, the debunkers have had some fun with is the case that I think it was Jim Oberg debunked as saying that it was reentry of a Soviet, the second stage of a Soviet rocket. I believe that was up in the Yukon in 1996, if I'm correct.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the it's the one that Jim Oberg said that the witnesses were actually seeing the second stage reentry of a Cosmos 2335 rocket. This question comes from Burnt State.
Yeah, it's a very interesting case, and I know that Oberg cites it. The work was actually done by Ted Malzin. Who's one of the people on CSAT who study satellite reentries and make lists of them and so forth. In fact, I had emails from Ted just this morning. It's interesting that we're getting some good dialogue going between skeptics and ufologists.
Well, that would be a change, and we'll have to cover this more in our next segment where you can flesh this out. Reminder, go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com, sign up for our weekly newsletter, get a free copy of the ebook version of Chris O'Brien's Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. It is free. Chris Rutkowski joins us. You're in
the Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So when we have that inevitable clock, that computerized clock that says break, break now or forever hold your peace, Chris Rutkowski was formulating his answer to KK's question. That has stopped it, but let's continue now.
Sure. Yeah, the Fox Lake case, many people have probably seen it now. A very large object was seen by about 30 witnesses at least as it moved ponderously over a lake and over some mountains. It was investigated by a very dedicated researcher, Martin Jacek, and he tracked down all the witnesses themselves who didn't have any knowledge of each other. The case had actually not been reported. In fact, this particular case was never part of our Canadian UFO survey because it occurred in 1996 in December, and it didn't become public knowledge or wasn't actually accessed by us until well into 1997, so it wasn't part of the 1996 data. But it's one of the more interesting ones ever recorded. A lot of people saw a large object with windows moving along. People had seen from one end of the lake to the other. The time difference was actually quite significant. So there's a very interesting, well-observed UFO case. And quite recently, Ted Molson determined that what was being seen was actually the reentry of a spacecraft. And what's curious about that is it does seem to be visible at the exact time that some of the reports were occurring. The problem that we're having is that I'm not convinced that all of the observations fit the explanation. In fact, there's some interesting reports where there was a couple or two men traveling about a kilometer or a mile apart, and they both saw the object. The person in the lead, they were both driving in separate vehicles. The person in the lead stopped his vehicle, got out, and looked up and said that this object, which he drew as a disc-shaped object with a round light underneath, passed directly over him. The person who was stopped some distance away was looking towards the other vehicle, his colleague, and saw this large object with windows or whatever pass over the car ahead of him. Now, if this was actually a reentry of a satellite, that could not happen because this object of the satellite was reentering very high up in the atmosphere, and we're talking of the order of 150 kilometers, something like that. So it's quite high, possibly getting down lower to about 100, and this angle difference wouldn't work. So the argument is that these observations where the object is passing overhead must be mistaken, and people's estimate of angles are really bad. There's actually a couple of other people who said that they saw the object pass overhead and describe it as a large disc-shaped object as well. So the skeptics are simply saying that the people's descriptions are wrong and what they actually saw were the space junk. And it's been said from time to time that space junk entering the atmosphere often looks like a cigar-shaped object with windows. And, that's valid to a certain extent. What's curious and what's very, very new, in fact, just over the past few days, is that I've made available a study that I conducted. And it's only been available or only been possible to do this recently because Ted Malzahn's report on the reentries that were visible and possibly identifiable as UFOs has only been recently made available. And the 25-year study that I've done has only been recently been made available. And what I did is I pushed the two together. I said, how many of the cases in the 25-year study over the past 25 years, quarter century, are reentries that are on this list of reentries that should be visible over North America? And it turns out there's, 14 that match. And sure enough, we get reports. It's very easy. In fact, we've made available the data itself on our website for people to look at. And yes, there are reports of UFOs that were filed and reported a number of agencies, not only official agencies like the Air Force and so forth, but also to civilian organizations that match the times of the reentry of certain satellites. What is most interesting is that people don't typically or had not typically reported long cigar-shaped objects with windows. What was reported were fireballs. In fact, in most of the cases, the UFO investigators themselves listed the UFOs as having explanations, in other words, IFOs, because they sounded like satellites reentering. So what seems to be is that in about 94% of the reports that match the reentries, they were not considered UFOs at all. They were actually considered space junk reentering, fireballs, that type of thing, correctly identifying what they were. So what I'm suggesting as one interpretation is that UFO investigators and witnesses are actually a lot better than widely purported by some of the skeptics and debunkers. In other words, a UFO witness who sees the reentry of a satellite or a rocket booster is going to report an object that looks like a reentry of a satellite or a rocket booster for the most part. So
people's descriptions match the facts in this particular case.
They do. So the question is then, why would this particular case in Fox Lake in the Yukon in 1996 be so different, where people were reporting large structured objects and not fireballs in a reentering satellite? To me, that's quite curious and suggests there's more to it than meets the eye. sorry for the pun and literally there, but it does suggest that there's more to the case than that. And even if it is the case that the all the witnesses, all 35 or so of them, all saw this particular satellite booster re-entering, the question is, why are the interpretations so different? So I would argue there's still much that can be learned from studying this particular case, and dismissing it out of hand probably is not warranted.
Right. Well, this brings up an interesting point that I've encountered from time to time, and that is witnesses reporting mundane objects such as planes, in a case or two birds, that then appear to morph into a classic UFO shape. And when we come back from our break, I'd like to get your opinion on some of these cases that I'm sure you have in your database, and what could be operative here.
You want to answer that briefly, Chris?
I'm going to wait
sure.
Until after the break.
Right. No, it's okay. We've got 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, there are cases where objects change shape and appearance. There's no question of that. I know that some of the cases that I've looked at were video cases and photographic cases where the objects seem to change from a disc shape to two balls next to one another, back again, that type of thing. And those are certainly optical effects. But in other cases where people said they were seeing birds and then the birds suddenly changed into an aircraft that zoomed over their heads, I really don't know what to think of those. And the problem is that what do you do with these really, really strange cases that come to you as UFO data? They're certainly not standard stars, airplanes, helicopters, and so forth. There's something else at work here. And, it just adds to the mystery of trying to figure out the entire UFO phenomenon. And that's why I think we have to have some decent investigation going on. In fact, one of my biggest concerns is that most UFO sightings that are reported are not investigated. And to me, that's one of the biggest problems in ufology right now.
All right. That's a good point there. And one we'll get ready to break on. But first, let me remind our listeners, once again, we have this great book that Chris O'Brien wrote a few years back called Secrets of the Mysterious Valley. There's an ebook version, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. Due to Chris's generosity, I didn't browbeat him to do this, folks. We'll offer a free copy of the ebook version if you subscribe to our weekly Paracast newsletter. Go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com. Right there above the fold is a link. You enter your email address, you sign up, you get the newsletter, and you get the book. We have Chris Rutkowski joining us with Gene and Mr. O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards
self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again. And they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNlive.com and enter to win in the 30-bottle, 30-day summer giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNlive.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
See the respect with which we hold my co-host. It's not Chris or KK, it's Mr. O'Brien, right? He doesn't want to say anything about that. Okay. By the way, that noise there that you heard, that's my iPhone telling me that a local teriyaki dinner type place is offering a Thai meal. I don't understand that. Chris Rutkowski is joining us. We're not going to talk about food. That's on a different show. We're talking about UFOs, UFO cases. But I just wanted to bring in the comparison. Moving into the Cash Landrum case, obviously not in your country, do you find that and the older case where someone suffered nasty after effects to be similar in many respects or any respects?
Yeah, there's no question that that there are similarities between Cash Landrum and the Mihalik case. You know, both seem to be burned by a thermal effect of some sort, which does suggest, you know, something mechanical, that there is some sort of heat that was generated. And certainly if you're close to a, you know, an exhaust from a vehicle of some sort, that'll certainly be one of the effects. There have been a number of other cases where that's been manifesting. So I would say that there are some similarities, you know, for people to look at if they're looking at these individual cases.
Okay. Now, what about Rendlesham? Again, we have nasty side effects.
Certainly nasty side effects. And we certainly have a number of theories. I mean, remember the good old lighthouse theory that was proposed first of all, and that goes back to Jenny Randles and others quite a long time ago. Brenda Butler, I think, in her book too, had something like that. But the reality is that something happened just outside an airbase, and there were military observers. Now, to me, that alone suggests that the case should be investigated a little bit more thoroughly, not only by the military investigators, but by civilian investigators, because the military witnesses are available for talking with now. And there are a number of different versions that are bobbing around like now, and there's a lot of controversy. I've read the controversy surrounding the latest book that's come out. It unfortunately, all it's doing is muddying the waters, really, because it calls into question whether the incident happened at all. It calls into question whether the witnesses, some of the witnesses were making things up. It's getting hard to separate fact from fiction, and that's too bad, because this is a very interesting case in the annals of ufology.
Another interesting case from the annals of ufology, again, is kind of outside your 25-year study and report, but it's probably, if there is a Canadian Roswell and the McCullough case isn't it, Shag Harbor would be really quite high up on my list of really good, well-documented Canadian cases. Now, the involvement, you know, we've covered the case on previous episodes with you, but the involvement of the military in Shag Harbor is particularly intriguing. And do we see any other parallel cases where the military gets involved to the extent that they did in this case? And do we have we seen any other cases where it appears the Canadian and American defense apparatus are working together in some fashion?
Well, I think there is, and one that comes to mind is Rivers, Manitoba, also from 1967, oddly enough, the same year of both Shag Harbor and the Mihalik case in Falcon Lake, and also in Manitoba. This was quite interesting because I found the documents for this case in the Canadian National Archives. Happened on August 28th. There were six witnesses. Three of them were military personnel, all stationed at a military base there. Plus, there were some civilians. In fact, two of the witnesses were a military individual and his girlfriend. And they were separated. These witnesses were separated by a significant distance. And it started when two additional witnesses started the case investigation by there was an explosion that rattled windows and there were vibrations and all this sort of stuff. There were balls of flame, and here's the flame thing again. That sounds reminiscent of Cash Landrum. It was it flared up. A number of people saw it moving around. What's curious is not necessarily the report itself and the fact that we have military observers and military witnesses. But one thing that's very weird is that in the reports that I was able to find, it actually said that an investigation team was quickly assembled and was dispatched to the site. Now, this investigation team was dispatched from Winnipeg to Rivers, which is about, I don't know, 3-4 hours away, and dispatched immediately. And this is a case where we have evidence that there was an actual UFO investigation team. So, in other words, a Blue Book team. And this case is actually part of Blue Book. We have individuals in the military assembled, and it's like Avengers assemble. Let's get out right out there and investigate the case, which is to me quite interesting, because if the UFO phenomenon was not being taken seriously, why would there be a team that could be identified and assembled and dispatched immediately to a location where something had been experienced? Now, if this is what we know happens in Canada, it seems completely reasonable that a similar team of some sort was at work or, you know, ready to be dispatched in the United States. So to me, we have some evidence that the military investigation involvement in UFO cases was very, very significant.
If anybody says that they don't take these cases seriously, I think at least back then they did. Perhaps today it might be different, but they, I really have a sense that they did. Another thing that that comes to mind for me personally, as someone that's really dove into the unexplained livestock death phenomenon, is the number of cases that occurred in Canada of cattle mutilations during the early to mid 80s, when the RCMP was very active in investigating claims by ranchers, mostly in Saskatchewan, Alberta, some in BC, some further over in Manitoba. But it seems like the authorities there in Canada took these cases very seriously. Now, do you have any cases that mention UFO sightings in conjunction with mutilation reports?
I would say not In conjunction in the cases that I've seen personally, I mean, I looked at three mutes myself up here in Manitoba. There was an interest, and what's curious is that they were occurring in the same locations where there were UFOs being seen. So there wasn't a direct connection in terms of, you know, witnesses seeing a UFO and then a mute being found the next day in their yard or something like that. But they were occurring in the same general area. And Tommy Roy Bland, who was one of the early investigators of mutes, actually prepared a report for the RCMP in Calgary on his belief that we were looking at some sort of satanic rituals and so forth. And he was received by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police with almost open arms. I mean, they accepted his report. They discussed it. They thanked him for the report. It wasn't dismissed at all. So it was a very... It was a very good relationship that was, you know, being fostered at that time regarding officials and the mute situation. And because the in that report, too, I think Tommy actually included a lot of UFO cases that were occurring, and there were some occurring at that time in Alberta as well, that there was this relationship that was, if not obvious, but certainly something that was notable.
Ah. You know, I just had just something to ask about those cases where injuries were reported, the ones that we've considered the more famous cases. Any possibility some or all of them were due to experimental aircraft rather than some kind of unknown?
Oh, there. I think there's no question that they might have been. In the Mihalik case, that always was something that was considered. In fact, there's an entire chapter in Palmiro Campagna's book on Canadian UFOs where he, you know, lays out the case that it was, in fact, sort of an extension of the Avro saucer that was being developed, that continued to be developed, and that there was a test vehicle of some sort. The problem that I have with that is, if what was, you know, what ended up burning Mr. Mihalik was a test vehicle of some sort, one would expect more documentation, more sightings. Like, you know, here we have something that was capable of vertical takeoff and landing in a disc shaped, and yet after 1967. There weren't a lot of cases that exactly matched this description. So I don't think that we would have seen a single prototype like this. We would have seen some stages, maybe, you know, oval or square, and then larger and smaller. And it didn't manifest until much later that we, you know, we began to see some, you know, drones and things like that.
Let me ask you more about that in our next segment. Chris Rutkowski is joining us this week. You're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN. Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNlive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNlive.com. GCN.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The Giant Factory Authorized Mountain House Sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.